Okay, as always, the Torah Shavita, the Nishmas of Geshem Ben Ravar Adib. This week, Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera, fascinating Parsha, as always, the Parsha of the Esamakas. And what's vitally important over here is, yeah, you're right, is the first seven of the ten Makas. What's vitally important throughout the Sipuri Tiyas Mitzrayim, more than anything else, more than any of the other parishes, and truth be told, it's true by all of these parishes as well, that one, we have to employ our power of imagination. And the Bishra Salanta would tell us that we have a tremendous power of imagination. We know that from when we were kids, that our power of imagination was vivid and was almost a reality. But as we grow older, we realize that imagination isn't reality. And since imagination isn't reality, we start to neglect that power of imagination. However, when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is what our Emunah is based on, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoytzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. In the end of the day, the first of the ten Aseres Hadibros is based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the one who took you out of Mitzrayim, and our whole Emunah is based on Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Torah HaKadosh gives us details, the Medrashim, embellish those details by showing us how what's hinted to in Torah Shabbiksav is so much more what's in Torah Shabbalpeh, and we have to empower ourselves and employ the power of imagination that we have so that we can have clarity in our minds and then be able to pass that on from generation to generation. The beginning of our parasha, which is obviously a follow-on from the end of Parasha Shmos, we have a fascinating pasuk, which Rashi HaKadosh straight away inquires about. The beginning of our parasha begins, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. That pasuk itself is a perplexing pasuk. It begins with the word Vayidaber and the word Elokim. Vayidaber is a Lashon Kosher, a stern, harsh sort of speaking. And Elokim is Midas Hadin. And then it says, so, Vayedaber Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in a harsh way with Midas Hadin to Moshe. And then Vayomer Elov, which is a Lashon Raka, a pleasant way of speaking. And then he says, Vayomer Ani Hashem. So Rashi says that there's two things going on over here. The Chazal, in the first chapter of Rashi is saying, Chazal will tell us like this. The Rabbi Nishalem at the end of last week's parasha was in the middle of a conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbi Nishalem, Lama hare oisa, lama zeh. Why have you made it become so bad for these people? Lama zeh shalachtoni, why did you send me? Umeoz bosi al paroi, ever since I came to paroi, ledaba bishmecha, to speak in your name, heira lama zeh, it's just become worse. Vahatzeh lo hitzalte samecha. You gave me a mission to go and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. All that's happened is nothing other than it getting worse, no saving. And the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Vaydaber Elokim, the Rabbeinu Shalom spoke sternly to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, that wasn't the way, that's not the correct way that you should have inquired about what happened. It was the telling off. Vayomer Elov, and then he said, okay, the telling off is done. By the way, Moshe, I'm now about to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem. There was a Havtocha, and that's going to become to fruition. You're going to see that the present and the future kick in to link with the past that has happened. The question is asked, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why have you made it go worse? What else is a manig meant to do? A manig of Klal Yisrael, when he sees things getting worse, is meant to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, the people that you've asked me to lead are suffering. The people that you've asked me to look after are having it hard. Rabbeinu Shalom, why is this the case? So Moshe Rabbeinu was totally justified in going and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sent me to free them and it's only got worse. Rabbeinu Shalom is part of his tefillah really to Hashem. What was wrong? And some of the Mepharshim want to point out that it was nothing other than the terminology that Moshe Rabbeinu used. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Loma hare oisa, why have you made it ra for these people? You've made it ra, you've made it evil. That terminology was incorrect. Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have used that terminology. Because, in fact, what had happened, Klal Yisrael were slated to have been in Mitzrayim for 400 years of hard labor. And because of the last 86 years of the Shibud, which were increased, intense, severe labor, they sufficed for what really should have been 400 years of hard labor. In 86 years, they went through what was equal to 400 years of hard labor. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's look at what was going on and saying, it's Ra, no. There's actually a Hatova in this as well, because they're going to get out of here quicker. There's something good in what's happening. There's a Cheshbon. Rav Nissim Gon wrote a Sefer called Yalkut Sipurim, which brings from Rav Nissim Gon a story that Rabbi Shua ben Levi once asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shlom, please, just can you explain to me how sometimes things are hard for good people and things are good for evil people? How does this work? Tzadik Varala, Rosh HaVatovla. So Rabbi Shlom said, you know what? You can go and accompany Eliyahu HaNavi for a few days. Eliyahu HaNavi said, you can only accompany me with one condition. You don't ask any questions. You're not allowed to ask any questions. You're welcome to come with, but you're not allowed to ask any questions. No, right? It's an opportunity. The Rebbeinu Shem said, you want to know about Tzadik Varali Rosh HaVatovlai? Go with Eliyahu HaNavi. No, that's what he wants. At the expense of not asking any questions. No. Okay. Maskim. Mishra ben Levi went with Eliyahu HaNavi. And they went on their journey. And they start to walk and they walk. And towards evening, they come to a little shack. And next to the shack, there's one cow. When they come near, they see an old man, an old woman sitting outside their shack. And Eliyahu HaNavi asked him, please, can you put us up for the night? So they went and they did whatever they could with the meager means that they had. They put them up for the night. The next morning, just before they're about to go, Eliyahu HaNavi says to Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, we have to daven before we leave. They daven shachris. And Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi overhears Eliyahu HaNavi davening that their cow should die. He's a little puzzled. In fact, pretty shocked. There's a deal. He's not allowed to ask any questions. So he's definitely not going to ask this one. It's only the first one. All right. And they go, they carry on their journey, and they leave. As they're leaving, they hear the cow die, and he hears the old couple crying about the fact that the sole thing that they had, which provided them with their livelihood, is gone. But questions are not allowed to be asked. And they carry on their journeys. Towards evening, they arrive at a very wealthy man's home, a huge mansion, and they knock on the door outside. No one answers. Eliyahu says to Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, it must be that they haven't heard us. Well, let's go in. And they let themselves in. And they walk in to see the host, or to see the balabais and the balasabais being waited on by waiters and waitresses in this immaculate dining room with every delicacy possible on the table. And they try to catch their attention. And the balabais turns to his wife and says, look at these beggars who just walked in here. I mean, how did they get in? We've got to reinforce our locks. We've got to make sure that they don't walk in like they've just done to us. And not only did he not greet them, didn't invite them to sit down, but in a very angered look towards them, sort of in disgust. What are you doing here? So Eliyahu HaNavi then asked the balabais, do you mind if we stay here the night? He didn't really have the guts to say no, so he said, okay, you can stay here the night. He gave them a little bench, stone bench, that they could sit on in the courtyard outside. And that's it. Didn't offer them any food, didn't offer them any drink. The next morning, Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi says to Eliyahu HaNavi, let's get out of here. He couldn't. In this type of environment, so he obviously says, you know, we'll go, but before you leave, we should daven shachris, because before one leaves, you shouldn't daven on the journey, we'll daven here in this house. So they daven, and he overhears Eliyahu HaNavi's tefillah. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you know, there's that little wall over there that seems to have fallen down. And yesterday, part of the reason why this balabais was in his rage and temper was because he had ordered workers to rebuild it and they hadn't done the job they were meant to have done. And, you know, he's usually gets everything done the way he wants, when he wants, how he wants. So it hadn't really worked. Yeah, I davened that miraculously the wall should be rebuilt of its own. Needless to say, the wall gets rebuilt. Shomer Nevi can't, this is beyond him, right? Okay, but he's not allowed to ask any questions. And they go on another journey, another walk for that day. Towards evening, they come to a big city, and Eliyahu Novi says, come, let's go to the Beis HaKnesses. Maybe one of the people who's davening there will invite us back. They come into this Beis HaKnesses, and they're unbelievable, beautifully built, ornamental Beis HaMedrash. And it's very recognizable that every single person who davens in this place is a tremendous Baal Yecholes. In fact, everyone has their designated seat, which they make sure not a single other person ever sits on. And it's, the seats are tiered according to their level of chashivos or the amount that they give in their yearly donations. And they wait, they stand in the corner, Eliyahu Novi and Rav Shlomo Levi, hoping that maybe someone's going to invite them home. No one invited them home. In fact, some of the people said, oh, these beggars, they've come back again. Some of them gave a few prutas to the shamas of the shul. You get them some bread and water. And, you know, just... So the shamas brought them some bread and water. And they slept in the shul that night. And the next morning, as they're about to leave after davening shachris, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says to them, he wants to give them a bracha. Yiratzoin, you should all be roshim v'chashuvim. You should all be heads and really important. Shimon Levi was pretty, a little bit angry at what he heard. This is a bracha you give to these type of people. Eliyahu gives them the bracha. This is a bracha you give to these type of people. He's not allowed to ask a question. So they go on another journey. Just before Shkia, they arrive in their next place and they come to a city where they walk in. No sooner have they arrived, everyone who sees them is inviting them, come join us. They come to some communal type of setting where they sit down, and the people in the city are so excited that they've got guests, and they start to talk to them and engage in conversation, find out about them, to learn things from them, where they come from, their culture, etc. And they have a tremendous amount of simcha, and obviously they give them lodgings, and they give them food, and they give them drink. And the next morning, they daven shachris with them, and before they leave, Eliyahu Novi gives them a bracha. And he says, Yiratzoin, there should only be one person here as a Rosh. Rabbi Shimon Levi, that was it. That was it. You know, Ad Khan. I know there's a deal that I can't ask, but Eliyahu Novi, I can't see this carrying on. It's perplexing. It's stressful. I need to understand what's going on. For people who are good, you daven that it shouldn't be good. For people who are bad, you daven that it should be all good. What's going on? Eliyahu Novi says, Rav Shlomo Levi, the deal was a deal. And I'm afraid we're going to have to part ways. But before I go, I'll explain to you what you saw. He says, you know, when we were in that old couple's shack, I saw the Malach HaMavos arrive. He wanted to kill the wife. He was sent to kill the wife of that gentleman. So I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't kill his wife. Kill the cow outside instead. And instead of that, so the cow will go, but at least the couple will be together. At least they'll be able to encourage each other, be mesameach each other. And I'm sure that old man is much happier having his wife rather than his cow. He says, you know, the wealthy man, we went to his house and I told him that his wall should be instantly rebuilt. Beneath that wall was a tremendous treasure, which had he built it himself, he would have found. As soon as that wall built itself, that treasure was never there to be found. But I want you to know as well that that wall is about to fall over again pretty soon. But he's going to be so torrid with so many other things, he ain't going to have time to build that wall, so he's never going to find that treasure. But on that day, he would have had time, and therefore I daven that wall should be rebuilt. He should never find that treasure. He says, you know, when we came to that city with all those kamtsonim where they could have, and they just gave us the bread and water and left us sleeping in the shul, I said, yeah, everyone there should be a roish. Everyone there should be... Because when everyone's a roish, there's no achdus. So they should always have fights amongst them. When we came to the other place, they looked after us. They should have one roish. One roish, you have one rov, you have one kohen gadol, you have one manig. There's achdus amongst everyone. But now I have to leave you. There's a cheshbon to everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And this is a mashal for the taina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on Moshe Rabbeinu's terminology. Not on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came. Rabbeinu Shalom, what's going on? Klal Yisrael is suffering. Avada, Moshe Rabbeinu had to do that. That is what a manik has to do. A manik sees people suffering, cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A yid sees people suffering, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it going bad? But to use the Lashon Ra, it's evil, as opposed to Toiv, no, that not. Vaydaber Elokim, Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Ra it isn't. In fact, it's a cheshbon of Toiv. And therefore, you have to look at it in a slightly different way. So Moshe Rabbeinu carries on in the parasha after he's told what to tell Klal Yisrael. And he goes, and he tells them, Vaydaber Moshe Kenel b'nei Yisrael, he tells them, Vaytseisi, Vaytalti, Vagalti, Vaylokachti, Vayvesi, Vaylo Shomu El Moshe. They didn't accept the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikoytse ruach u me'aveda kosha, because of the shortness of breath resulting from the harsh work that they were doing. Explains Rashi, Kol mishuhu meitzar, anyone who is in a situation of distress, ruchay v'nishimasei k'tzara, then when a person is under real stress, then one's breath is short. One doesn't have time to inhale and exhale in a relaxing way. That is the extent to which Klal Yisrael were being run off their feet by the Mitzrayim. Not only was it Aveda Kasha, but they were, go and find your own straw and make your own bricks. And Klal Yisrael, they were out of breath. That is the extent. Moshe Rabbeinu came, he came with news to tell them, Rabbi Yisrael, you're about to be redeemed. The shiur's about to stop. They didn't even have time to hear and a sense of mind to be able to grasp what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, because there was Ktsar Ruach. It says, Kol Mishu Meitzar, anyone who's in a tzara. That's right. Klal Yisrael were in a tzara. They were in a meitzar. That's where in Mitzrayim, which is from the Lashon of meitzar, which is tzor. They were honed in by Mitzrayim and put under stress by Mitzrayim. They shouldn't be able to. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Two amazing lines. Ulai. Ki letzad shelo yohoyu b'nei Torah lo yishomu. Because they hadn't yet received Torah. And therefore they weren't yet able to have studied Torah, and that's why they were in this situation of stress where they weren't able to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'loze yikore koitze ruach, ki ha-Torah marcheves liboy shel adam. When we receive Torah, we receive the gift. We didn't just receive the gift that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us with which the world was created. We received the gift that the more we learn it, the more it is marcheves liba shalom, it widens the heart of a person, meaning that even if I'm in a matzav of meitzar, in a matzav of stress, where I feel honed in and I feel impeded from going out, words of Torah are marchiv that. They widen, they expand, they give a person the ability to comprehend and think, and I can rationalize, I see it's not ra. There's a cheshbon of Torah, because Torah gives us that. The history of Torah, the words of Torah, they allow us to see that there's a hoya, there's a hoiver, there's a yiyeh, there's a puzzle, there's something that fits all together. That's what Torah does. Klal Yisrael didn't yet have the Torah. But once they got the Torah, this would never happen to them again. They would never have to be in a situation where a redeemer will come and tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're about to be redeemed, even if we were to be in a matzav like Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Torah will have expanded our hearts that we're able to. Beautiful Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That's in Perek Vov, Posuk Tes. Now I know the Posuk says, Mikoytze Ruach, and it's Choser. It's missing a Vov. The Baal HaTurim explains why. When the Or HaChaim HaKadosh speaks about it, he says, Koytze Ruach, like we spell it. Kuf Vov, Tzadi Reish, Reish Vov Ches. What's the gematria of Koytze Ruach? Kuf Vov, Tzadi Reish, Kuf is 100, Vov is 106. Tzadi 196, Reish is 396, another Reish of Ruach is 596, and another 6 is 602, and Ches is 610. Koytze Ruach's gematria is 610. What's the gematria of the word Torah? Tof is 400, Vav is 6, Reish is 606, and Hey 611. One more than Koytze Ruach, because Torah takes us out of our Koytze Ruach.
I understand that if they were Meshubba, they couldn't even think. So had they had Torah, they would still have the ability to think?
Yeah, Torah, this is what the HaKadosh is telling us. Torah, it gives us a supernatural power. The Torah gives us the ability to have Harchovas Halev. That even when, under natural circumstances, it should confine us and constrain us, the situations that we're in. Torah allows us to rise above that and have a harchava saliv, to be able to go beyond what the nature would normally have done. Normally someone in the matzah, they were in Mitzrayim, would, and they were unable to really comprehend, think, and beyond. Torah gives us that koyach. It's that superpower that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us, Klal Yisrael. Jump around a little bit. Towards the end of the parasha, you know, after Paray has been absolutely battered by Dam, Tzvardea, Kinim, Orev, Dever, Shchin, comes Borod. So, Borod, you know, there's not much left in Mitzrayim. The animals have devoured pretty much everything. There's not many animals left themselves to eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now says, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell Paray, the next thing that's coming is Borod. So, and the hailstones start to come down. Hailstones with fire inside them. Not only do they destroy things as they fall, and they were like cruise missiles. They each one had their own destination, the Beis Halevi says. Not only that, but as they hit their destination, they exploded like a cruise missile, and the fire consumed whatever was there, and produce got destroyed, property got destroyed, people got destroyed. Paro realizes, Vayishlach Paro Vayukol Moshe, Vilaram Perek Tes Posuch Chav Zayin. Vayishlach Paro, and Paro sends a messenger, Vayukol Moshe Laram Vayim Alem, Chotosi Apam. I've done a sin. This time, I've sinned. Hashem HaTzadik Vani Va'ami Horoshoim. Hashem is a tzadik, and me and my people are the Rishonim. Says the Medrash, Paray never said that. What actually Paray said was, Hashem HaTzadik Va'ani. Hashem and I are the Tzadikim. Va'ami HaRishonim, and my people are the Rishonim. Says that, some safe, Meshugana. He just said, Chotosi Hapam, I've done a mistake. Within the same breath, he says, oh, by the way, I am Hashem HaTzadikim. It's my people who are the Rishonim. Was he farikt? What was wrong with him? What did he mean? Chassam service is an amazing thing. It says there's a medrash in the beginning of Parashas Shmos, which says that actually what happened was Bilam, who is this nemesis of Klal Yisrael for quite a long time already, and was one of the senior advisors to Paro, hated Klal Yisrael, and he was trying to get rid of us. And he went to Paro and he said, he actually whipped up a lot of support in Mitzrayim to say to Paro, listen, let's enslave these people. Levi's just died. There's 116 years left. Well, we know there was 116 years left. Let's enslave them. Paro said, not a chance. I'm not starting with these people. Do you know what happened to the Pharaoh who started with their great grandmother? You know what we've got in our history books? Anyone who started with these chevra, what happens to them? No, I'm not starting with them. They said, Paro, you're demoted. And they kicked him off the throne. And for 3 months, he was incognito. He was missing his home, he was missing where he was brought up, he was missing his ancestral comforts. So he went back to him and said, you know, I'm asking, whatever you guys want, I'll do. And he then ruled over the Mitzrayim, who enslaved Klal Yisrael. So Chassam Sofer, he called in Moshe Rabbeinu and I said, Moshe, come here. I've made a mistake. This time I've gone a bit too far, you're right, this time I've gone a bit too far. But you realize, I and Hashem are tzaddikim. It's not really what I want to be doing. I never want to be doing this. V'ami or Rishoyim, they're the ones that the Rishoyim. I only came back because I wanted to sleep in my bed. I wanted to have my throne. I wanted to have my grandfather's scepter. Oh, but it's not me. It's them. That's what he meant. Hashem are tzaddik v'ani. V'ami or Rishoyim, and my people, they're the ones who are the Rishoyim.
What
did
he mean by chatasi?
This time I've made a bit of a mistake. You know, it's a chait. It's not amazing. I've gone a bit too far this time. You're right. This time I should really let you go. But you should know that really, in essence, I'm a great guy. I'm a tzaddik. The Malbim is medayik, an amazing thing at the end of this week's parasha. You see, what happened then, after this, the Borod stops, yeah, and he doesn't let them go. Is he mad? And what's his rationale? So listen to this, says the Malbim. Let's have a look at what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro is going to happen, and what happens. So he says to him, in Pasuk Chav Ches, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, daven for me, all the noise and the Borod, it seems to me there was tremendous noise that came with the Borod that was petrifying. He couldn't live with that either. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, fine, you know what, I'm going to go out of the city, I'm going to spread my hands heavenward, I'm going to daven. Hakoilois yechdolun, the noises are going to stop. V'haborod lo yiyaoid, and then the hail's also going to stop. At the moment, from heaven, there's noise that's coming, and there's hailstones that are coming, Obviously, the speed of sound travels quicker. So there'll be the last noise will leave heaven. Then there'll be a hailstone that will leave heaven. And it's all going to stop. Moshe Rabbeinu goes. And he davens. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. By Yitzhak Moshe Rabbeinu Paro. By Yifrei's Kapov. Like he said, he spreads his hands heavenward. He davens. By Yachtulu HaKoylois. The last sound left. It stopped. Vahaborod Vahamotor. And then the last Borod also left. But Borod never came all the way to the ground.
It stopped, it's still there.
It stopped and it's still there, yeah. Avnel Govich, it stayed there. So Paroi, who's on the ground, he's waiting. He says, all right, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how's this going to work? There's going to be, I'm going to hear my last noise, then I'm going to see a last Borod, and then it's all over. That last Borod actually never came to the ground. So Paro is waiting after the last noise. Hey, where's the last Borod? Moshe Rabbeinu said there's going to be a sequence here. There's going to be the last noise, followed by the last Borod. And that last Borod is not arriving. Where is it? He's a phony, Moshe Rabbeinu. Because actually, it's happened the other way around. There was a last Borod, followed by a last noise. His last Borod hasn't arrived. In which case, he's told me the wrong order. So he's a farce. And therefore, he turns around to me, and he hardens his heart. He says, I'm not letting them go. He's cheated me.
Someone said that Borod is there suspended, waiting any minute if Paro dares to be chuspidic. And it will come down.
Right. But the Maise never came down.
I know it didn't, but so I'm saying, shouldn't Paro think?
What do you mean? What did he? Okay, he never saw them. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't see them. But the Malbim says, "How do you, he's just said chotosi? He's just said I'm gonna do this. I can't handle this anymore." So what made him change his mind? Because when he saw Vayar Paroi, now look at the pasuk. Look at what pasuk says. Pasuk Lamed Daled. What did Paroi see? Vayar Paroi ki chodal hamotar vahaborod. The last hailstone fell, followed by vahakolos, by a last noise. Moshe said it's going to be a noise followed by a borod that's going to be last. What does Paro see? A noise followed by a borod. Sorry, what does Paro see? He sees a borod, a noise. He's waiting for the last borod. It never came. Ah, therefore he hardens his heart. He says, now Moshe, I mean, you got it wrong. Because that was his opening. How Kodesh Rokh sort of allowed him to think, to see perhaps that he had got it wrong. When he said Chotosi Apam, the Medrash tells us, Mipnei Ma Zochu Mitzrayim Likavura. Why were Mitzrayim Zoche for Kavura? Why were they Zoche to get Kavura? At the end, after the Yam Suf, they all got buried. Where did they get that schus from? Where did they come from? Nisha Omru, because they all said with Paro, Hashem Atzadik. They said Hashem Atzadik. It's a phenomenal thing. I mean, talking about the Mitzrayim, they defied everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them. And straight away afterwards, they completely ignored what Hashem said. But there was a moment, there was one moment of realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and articulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem HaTzadik, and that afforded them, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Tells, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch said, it's unbelievable what one mitzvah can do, even if afterwards a person is, Chas V'Shalom, does an Avera. But he did that mitzvah. That's worth something. It's not just worth something. It's worth a fortune. They got Kvura. So it's a tremendous schus that the body's not just left to rot out in the thing. That's the tzar that the nefesh gets from that. None of that. It got burial. Where? Because they said two words, Hashem HaTzadik. Right, straight afterwards, they totally ignored what Hashem said. The moment of realization afforded them that kavura. Veretnach, where we, Be'ez Hashem, we have the siyata dishmaya to do mitzvahs and to do more mitzvahs and to do more mitzvahs and to be able to engage in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Avada, there, our mitzvahs are worth a huge fortune for us. Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, one of the Tels Rosh Shivas. I'll just finish off with a beautiful cheshbon in the Chasam Sefer. The Chasam Sefer says that the Rabbeinu Shalom, when he told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to warn Paro before Borod, So in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says like this. Vayim Hashem Moshe, Hashkim Baboike, get up early in the morning, Vishyati Lifni, Pari, and go and stand in front of Pari. Vamartoi Lov, Koyama Hashem Eleke, O Ivrim, Shalaches Ami Vyavduni. Ki Bapa Mazois, there's gonna come a moment, there's gonna be one time, and Ishaleach Es Kol Magevois, I'm gonna send all my Magevois. Rashi says that he's already informing him, Makas Vachoris is on the way. They're all gonna come, it's Kol Magevois. Says Chassam Sefer, later on, in Parshas, Shalach, it says, Kol amachalo asher samti v'mitzrayim, le'osim alecho. Es kol magifoy say, he says over here, by all the magifoys, he said, later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kol amachalo asher samti v'mitzrayim, le'osim alecho. Anything that I did in Mitzrayim, I won't do to you, Klal Yisrael. If you're keeping Torah, you don't need to worry. Anything that happened, that's why, but one of the reasons why in the Seder night, we try and enumerate as many Makkas as possible. No, they weren't just 10, there were 50. No, not 50, there were 250. Why? The more Makkas we can find there were, the less we need to be worried about when we're keeping Torah mitzvahs, because Kol amachalo asher samti v'mitzrayim, lo yosim alecho. So that's one of the reasons. It says, there's a pasuk later on in Sefer Devarim, u'beirach es lachmecho ve'es meimecho. The Rebbe Yisrael says, he will bench our bread and our water, v'hasiroisi machalo mikirbecho. And by that, by you having a brocha in your bread and in your water, you'll have, and no machalo will be in your midst. The Gemara Bab Matzia Daf Kuf Zayinam and Beis, when it enumerates 13 different milas, 12 or 13 different milas of eating past Shachris. He says like this, there are 83 chaloim, 83 types of illnesses that are in the gallbladder, that can, or connected with the gallbladder, and by eating past Shachris and drinking a kito in shalmayim, a flask of water, one is mevatel all these illnesses, because it says, Uberach es lachmecho v'es meimecho. I'll bench your lechem and your maim. That's your pas shachris and your kitin shalmaim. And by that, v'hasiroisi machalo mikirbecho. Machalo is gematria 83. And I'll take away the 83 types, and that's referring to those. So, he says, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to warn Mitzrayim just before they're gonna have the makkah of Borod, followed by the Makkah of Arbe. He says, when Borod came and Arbe came, their wine got destroyed, their water got destroyed, their bread got destroyed. So Mimela, they didn't have what to have Pas Shachris from, because between the Borod and the Arbe, nothing was left. Borod left a little bit over for Arbe to be able to consume. By the time that was gone, they had nothing to eat, and they had nothing to drink. So there was, their bread was destroyed, their wine was destroyed. So Mimela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them now, I'm sending to you es kol magefoisai, all of my magefois. He says that word magefoisai has in it, you have there your pei gimel, 83, and the letters moisi, or moisai, my deaths, the 83 illnesses that can cause death. It's all going to come out now. That's why Rashi is talking about Makkas Bechoris. It's a little bit difficult to understand. Makkas Bechoris, we're not there yet. Informing him about it. We were just talking about before. No. I'm about to send you now, so for Makkas Borod and Makkas Arbe, that's going to destroy all your produce. If you've got no produce, you've got no Pashachris, you've got no Kitin Shamayim, you've got no Yain, you're done, you're doomed. You've got your 83. It's Kol Mage Faisai, means my Pei Gimel Moisai. Pei Gimel things are going to cause, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was Siyata Dishmaya, by us having the Torah for us, and that's the importance of learning Torah and engaging in Torah, because it's Marcheves Liboy Shel Adam. It gives us that Harchovas Halev, that we can rise above anything that there is, and with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also guarantees us that not only do we rise above everything, but we're guaranteed from being saving from anything that happened to Klal Yisrael, to Mitzrayim, to Mitzriyim in Mitzrayim. And with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us to understand Torah, appreciate Torah, and not just not to have to suffer what happened in Mitzrayim, but we should have a geula from this Golos as well.